Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of Computationally Yours. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Sabha Kadri.
And I am Arshi Arora. This is Computationally Yours.
Welcome to a new episode of our podcast, where we break down topics in advanced sciences related to computational biology, medicine, and more to make them more accessible.
We release episodes every other Tuesday. And, you know, I was just looking at some numbers and realized that our last episode was actually our 30th episode.
Already, huh?
I know. So we've done a whopping number of 30 episodes. Yay! You're listening to the beginning of a new decade from now on. It's going to be the 31st episode of Computationally Yours. And I want to thank all our listeners and give them a warm welcome for tuning back again and coming on this journey with us.
Yes, I completely echo your sentiments, Arshi. This has been a very interesting journey for both of us as well, along with our listeners. And I can't wait for all the fun things we're going to bring to our listeners in this new decade, as you call it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This last year has taught us a lot, right? Our lives are never going to be the same. In fact, the US is really starting to get back to some sort of normalcy, but most of the rest of the world is still grappling with the pandemic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's been a year since infection due to the COVID-19 virus was declared a pandemic. And, you know, looking back at it now, it has wrecked some serious havoc and really forced us to ask difficult questions about what we are doing. Some of the basic tasks like going to a grocery store or meeting friends and all those little things have really come into the light. And it continues to do so, right? I'm so grateful and wanted to give a shout out to all the frontline workers that are doing all the heroic work and keeping us all safe.
Absolutely, Arshi. And really, we want to also take a moment to mention our home country, India, that is really going through a very severe second wave, seeing a lot of variants there, a lot of deaths. And, you know, our hearts go out to our families, our friends, families, and just everyone out there. It is, I think, really difficult for Indians that are living outside of India to try to balance kind of that normalcy that we are seeing here now in the US, and then also at the same time seeing complete lockdowns and curfews in our home country.
Yeah, absolutely, Sabah. When I started reading the news and the number of cases, the number of deaths in India started increasing, I was really scared. And it's not only India, all the other countries like Brazil was affected at some point. I hope we open our eyes, listen to the science, and realize the value of human lives and get back to normal as soon as possible.
You underlined all the right things there, Arshi, and especially listening to the science. I think if there's anything we can learn from the last 1 year, it's that when people are not listening to the science and scientists, that's when all of these issues are occurring. Like you said, you know, our hearts go out and we just hope that things will get to some sort of normalcy for all of us soon. So now let's move to a slightly lighter topic and move to our topic of this episode. We actually wanted to talk about a major aspect of how our lives have changed, especially in terms of being computational professionals, and that's in the form of remote work. So we thought we'll keep this episode a little light today, not go into heavy science work, but actually talk about how things have changed for all of us working remotely for over a year now. So Arshi and I prepared 3 questions for each of us, and we're going to answer those on air today. Arshi, why don't you get us started?
So the first question I have for you is just to get us started, right? So how has it been to work from home? Do you want to share some stories?
It's been interesting, right? For all of us, it's definitely a change. One good thing has been that your commute to work is usually just 10 or 20 steps, depending on the size of your home. And that has its ups and downs. It's been interesting. I think the biggest thing has been creating a home office in case you don't have that already, like we did not. So, you know, ordering tables, which were really back ordered on Amazon, getting a monitor in place, making sure for me getting an ergonomic keyboard because I have carpal tunnel in my hand. All of those things took a little while to set up, but I think that we adapted very quickly.
You know, I don't think I can say the same for me. You know, it was really initially really difficult for me. You see, I've never associated home with the place to work. In fact, when I used to come back home from work, I made sure that I disconnected from all work when I came back. So my first few days, to be honest, I just did that, ignoring all the work that was pending and just following the news. But then it got better and I was able to focus. And then it got bad again, you see, like I was making a snack in the middle, doing my laundry. And, you know, part of it is that I did not invest in any of the office supplies that you mentioned. So I was working on my 13-inch MacBook Pro for quite a while. But, you know, I kind of started investing in office supplies. Like living in a New York apartment, I did not want to get anything, but then there was no way around it. So I got a table, I got a chair, I got a big monitor. My productivity suffered, but now it's definitely boosted, I'll say.
Absolutely. And, you know, actually, one more thing, which I guess both of us did not have to grapple with, but I saw it in terms of my friends and colleagues, is people who are working with small kids at home. That productivity, finding that balance was definitely so hard. Some people don't have the same number of computers as the number of people in their household. So kind of balancing that with e-learning, I think it was such a huge change for computational professionals.
Yeah, and I know some of my friends have a child or two children. It was really difficult for them to balance both work and having like a steady progress in their children's life. And I know you have a dog, so moving to a little lighter side of it again, how was it being a dog owner in the pandemic?
My dog is spoiled rotten. I love it. You know, we have kind of gotten into a routine now, right? So he knows the times when I'll get up for my coffee or my lunch. So he has such an amazing body clock. He will come remind us if we haven't gotten up in a few hours. He will come and tell us that, you know, you need to get up, you need to play with me, you need to take me outside, all of those things. And I love it.
Isn't that the best alarm ever? You know, you just can't like lounge like I do and like keep snoozing.
Yes, it is the best alarm ever. But I do worry about what happens when we start going into work. It's going to be a much bigger change, I think, for all dogs who've been around their dog owners this entire time. I think it's going to be harder for them than it's going to be for us. It's going to take some training for sure. So Arshi, actually, this brings me to my first question, which, you know, it kind of really gels well with what you asked and the things we've been talking about, which is maybe let's elaborate a little bit more on how do you separate working from home versus living at work?
That's a question that I ask myself every day. Are you doing enough with this, you know, like having a boundary, just like leaving work and transitioning into your normal to be at home routine? I am not doing that well at it. Some days are good, you know, and you're really focused. You do your 9 to 5. And then after 5, you just shut it down. You go to cleaning and cooking and just like catching up with your friends or family. That's like a healthy balance. And then maybe working out or something. It's been difficult for me. I really had to enforce a lot of discipline in me. Don't get tempted by the snack cabinet and just like start snacking or watching TV in the middle of it. I did not have my colleagues around me. So it was really difficult to have that strict working atmosphere. But now I'm doing much better. I'm learning how to transition into that. I still don't have a good answer for you. It's just that I still struggle with like keeping the two apart. How about you?
So, you know, Arshi, you're right. I also have struggled with this. And I think most people have, about where those boundaries are. I think I've completely gone in the direction of living at work, especially in the beginning. The start of the workday is quite easy. You know, your meetings are there, so you're beginning it. But when do you stop? Oh, maybe an hour more here or there. Just reminding yourself that, you know what, you need to stop and have dinner with family, or it's okay. You know, this one thing can be taken care of tomorrow. That took me some time for sure. I don't think I have any specific tools that helped or any kind of specific planning that helped in terms of figuring out those boundaries. I think even today, there are days when you end up working crazy hours just because you don't have to just get into your car or get on the train and go back home. So yeah, it's a constant constant struggle. I think that's something that people who are workaholics specifically have probably had a tougher time adjusting to.
Yeah. And, you know, it was like so easy to guilt trip us into, oh, we're not doing enough.
Yeah.
We had so many things to worry about. Oh my God, what are the next CDC guidelines that I have to do? Oh my God, is the vaccine out yet? At that level, I was trying to process so many things and then also like have a calm front at work, everything done on time. And then obviously the struggle of kind of making your home into this office and this place that you focus. So it required a lot of discipline, right?
But here's where you brought up such an amazing point. Even with everything that's happening, and we were just talking about this earlier, like worrying about our families, we are not on the same continents even.
Yeah.
So worrying about that, worrying about what's happening next, and then at the same time, also maintain that sanity at work. It's been hard. Our mental health is something that we don't talk about enough. Going through so much personally and professionally is not an easy thing. And I've seen a lot more conversations happen around mental health at our workplace as well. And I know it's happening here and there, but for sure, I think we need to talk about it more.
I agree, you know, and we've not talked about this topic like this. And you know, that makes me just realize that it's not only me who's struggling, you know, to be honest. If we start talking about all these issues, we'll realize that a lot of us are going through the same things because it's only human to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And you're so right. We've been talking about podcast episodes. We've been talking about our lives for this entire year, but we've not talked about this specific topic until right now.
Yeah.
It's so true. All right. So let's go on to your next question.
Yeah. So my next question is that we were not only working from home, but like also maintaining our social relationships from home. And that means whether it's your colleagues or your friends or your family, how did you go about that?
Yeah, I think it started off, of course, with a lot of video calls, just checking in with our friends. There's always been this video call fatigue now. We are living in this times of texting. People don't call each other anymore. So in the first few months, there were a lot of video check-ins, the frequency of which, of course, went down. And then after we've gotten vaccinated, I think slowly starting with a small bubble of friends, seeing people indoors with masks, outdoors without masks, those kind of things have definitely been a great source of relief. But yeah, those initial video calls, we did a lot of game nights, which I wasn't doing as much before. I enjoyed those a lot.
You know, I realized that like all the board games that I used to play with my friends, they actually have apps for those board games.
I know, that's so true.
Like Clues of Catan and Seven Wonders are two of my favorite, and they have apps for it. And you can actually make your own group and just play with your friends like that.
What about you? Is there anything else that you've done to maintain these relationships?
Even though a lot of my friends actually left New York, they actually left their teeny tiny apartments and went to live with their parents, but it didn't matter, you know, because we were not meeting as much. But I managed to keep in touch. And you're right, like, you know, there was these video check-ins and then the frequency of them definitely dropped. In fact, you know, I attended two baby showers online. But I so wanted to hug my mom to be friends. But I'm so glad they all delivered happy and healthy babies into the world. I think now I'm doing much better where I have all my friends and everyone. We have all our second doses in and we can meet in person and maybe play those board games actually physically now.
That would be so much fun. I want to actually play games in person now. Okay, Arshi, so now I have a question for you and I'm going to divert our conversation a little bit back to just our work. For you, what has been the biggest change that you have had to adapt to working in terms of working with your colleagues? Because, you know, we talked a lot about how things have changed for us personally, but what about the teamwork aspect? You know, you mentioned it a little bit about not being able to see your colleagues, you know, on a daily basis. How have you grappled with that at your workplace and any lessons you want to share with our listeners?
I just realized that more than meeting my friends every day, I was actually seeing my colleagues every day. So that definitely had like some adjusting to do. The other thing was having meetings and sharing ideas online in earlier days, how I could, you know, just like walk up to my colleagues and ask them. And now I just had to do them myself. Definitely took more time. And instead of like not having a second person around to bounce ideas off. The other thing was obviously how to collaborate via all these online channels. instead of having lunch with my colleagues and figuring out all the midtown lunch options we have in New York. And this is something I think a lot of New Yorkers, if they're listening, they will relate to it, that I was actually having lunch with Como Briefings. He used to come online every day around 12-ish, and that's when I would like take a break and have my lunch with the TV.
Yeah, Arshi, you know, I think this whole idea of video calls has definitely saved us. I have been on meetings where people don't always turn on their videos, and that feels like there is a bit of a distance there. But specifically my own team, we made sure that any calls that we have with each other is over video. So that definitely helped. We increased our frequency of group meetings as well, where we talked about our work more often. So that helped our productivity. Initially, there were some phases here and there. Some people had it harder to adjust. In order to keep productivity high, I think increasing the frequency of meetings helped a lot. And doing it over video, I think, has been the best thing.
It helps when you can see the other person and the other person can see you as well. And the exchange is definitely better there. So we talked about our colleagues and how to maintain that type of a relationship with colleagues online through videos. The science world still carried on, and there were actually a lot of conferences that were held virtually as well. Did you attend any, or did you present any?
I did, actually. I did do quite a few conferences virtually, and I also gave talks. So I love conferences. The whole point of being in science, attending conferences is such a big part of it. And meeting your colleagues at other institutes or organizations who you don't get to see the whole year. And it's just such a good feeling. That part, I think I really missed. I did not enjoy virtual conferences as much. I thought it was really nice to see the talks, but it felt more like webinars, not really like a conference. So I definitely want to see conferences come back in person. Giving the talks was interesting because now you were recording maybe multiple weeks in advance and just recording it in front of your own computer. That's another thing, actually, investing in some good microphones. Luckily for us, because I had invested in a good microphone for the podcast, it helped all my talks.
Well, you know, I still don't have as fancy mic as Sabha does, but I have something that is working, I guess.
I think your voice sounds great, Arshi. I can hear you just perfect.
Thank you. You know, I just thought, like, you know, this thing would get over. I don't have to invest in so much of technology. And I honestly still don't have a webcam. I actually use my phone as my camera on meetings.
I don't have a webcam either, actually. I use my Mac video. You know, I did want to bring up one other point, Arshi, before I let you answer this question,
yeah.
Which was also a thing about teaching classes online. So I taught half a course in the fall semester. And that was also interesting. My timings had to be changed because we had some people working remotely from other countries. I was teaching in the evenings from 7 to 10 or something like that. It was really big adjustment for sure. It was interesting. I think having it in person would definitely have been better.
That's a good point you mentioned about, like, teaching a class online is where you need the maximum interaction for maximum attention and how they are absorbing everything.
Absolutely. But, you know, people have done a pretty good job. I think the students have had to work extra hard and have to be extra motivated to go through this. But they've done such a good job. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone is putting their best foot forward in given the circumstances. That is true.
So tell me about your conferences. Did you attend any?
Yeah. You know, I have to say that poster session was definitely not the same as attending in real life, because it was just like, I have a poster in front of me and I can't give a pitch because I don't even know if anyone is there. I have this conference where I actually presented a poster. With the poster presentation, you know, they created these virtual rooms and then people could just come to that room, see your poster, and then ask if they had any questions. So I had a couple of people, you know, come and take a look at my poster, but no one said a word. So I wasn't even sure that should I be explaining what my poster does. So that definitely, I think, flopped a lot, but it was still a good effort to have.
Can I just say I love your honesty?
You know, because I started with presenting a lot of posters. It was so much fun, good interaction, because it is one-on-one, unlike a talk. But I did manage to put my work out there. About the conferences, you're right. It was definitely missing that personal touch. It did feel like a webinar. I think one part of conferences that we all like are the happy hours. Catching up with everyone, you know, discussing science with wine in our hands. Even though it was encouraged to still have a glass of wine after the Zoom happy hours. I miss the travel to a conference, but just take some couple extra days off and see another place that I've never been to. We were still able to share work and no other researchers' work that we were doing. So I'm glad we still maintain that.
Okay, Arshi. So tell me, did you have your last question for both of us as well?
Yeah, I think I have one more question that is kind of relevant. So, you know, like living in New York, I was made sure that I got a walk or like climbed a couple of stairs and exercised my limbs because I had to take the subway. And some days, you know, when the weather is good in New York, I actually biked to work. So when all of that stopped, I actually became quite lazy. And again, like I lacked the discipline to just like leave your desk, leave your couch and go to do some workout. I just wanted to ask you, what was that one thing that was really tied to, you know, going to everyday work routine for you? And how did you have your workouts in place after everything went remote?
I was a little bit lazier about the walks than you, for sure. We live near a park. So when the weather was good, we tried to go here and there, but we were definitely more homebodies, for sure. That said, actually, I think I was pretty active. I took out at least 30 minutes every day to work out in some way or the other. That was actually a positive change that came out of this remote work for me, which earlier, you know, maybe that time was spent in commuting to and back from work. But that little time that I had in the morning before my meetings, I did try to get in 30 minutes of workout at least 5 times a week, which was a very big change for me, by the way. Never did that. And Arshi, I guess I can tell this on this forum is, I actually started posting dance workouts, which I used to teach here in person. There is a context there on my YouTube channel. And that became something, actually.
It has. And I think you have about, what, 50,000 subscribers of your amazing, amazing workout videos.
Can I boast a little bit and say it's 63,000?
Okay, that is so cool. And you're not even bringing that positive change in your own life, but in other people's lives as well.
This was a fun story. I'll keep it short. I used to teach dance workouts in person on the weekends back in 2014 through 2018. And then I stopped because work got very busy. So I just decided to put out one video, honestly, in April of last year. And then my friends liked it. They said, do more, you know. So I started doing some Zoom classes for free, just like that, here and there. And I posted one of those Zoom classes online and it got popular. So then since September last year, I've just been posting like every week, actually.
That is so amazing. And you know, that keeps you on your toes because there is demand as well. It's like a cycle then, you know, people actually get benefit from it and then you feel like doing it more. And then you also benefit from it, right?
Absolutely. And you know, I think one of the other things that I've seen, that I've heard from the people who do those workouts, is not just a physical transformation. I think it's been a great mental transformation, because I think music and dance are things that bring happiness to people.
Oh yeah.
And especially when days are dark, that can really help. And it helps me too. So yeah, it's been a very rewarding experience for me.
I totally agree. And I really like your workout videos as well. And I think your selection of songs is really, really unique. So if anyone out there want to just like dance and listen to some great music, I think you should check out Sabah's YouTube channel.
Okay, we'll link it down below.
Yeah, how about, okay, now I'll leave some time for your last question.
Okay, so yeah, my last question is a little bit more forward thinking now. We've talked a lot about what we've been doing. And you know, things are changing a little bit now as more people are getting vaccinated in the US. So Arshi, I wanted to hear your thoughts on, what do you think the lessons that we've learned through all of this remote work, do you think it's going to lead to any kind of permanent arrangements at organizations? Like, do you see remote work becoming more of a regular thing?
You know, that is definitely a transition that I'm seeing. I had some friends that actually left New York and they actually moved to Austin or Florida, where they can have like afford a bigger house because they had children and dogs, to kind of have more space and still continue working. So they were no longer bound by being in the city. And as you said, commute is a big time commitment in our daily lives. So they cut that out. And that's one reason, because their workplaces allowed, you know, you can now work from anywhere. That was one thing that's definitely, I think, for here to stay. Speaking of which, my husband was like working from home and he's not stepped in an office in a while, even after getting vaccinated. Whereas you and I have actually started going to work at least twice a week, I think.
No, actually, Arshi, you know, we've also had that option and we are actually supposed to start going in, or at least we have the choice to start going in starting June 1st.
you know, you really see like a mix of organization and how they are dealing with the pandemic while keeping everyone safe. So yeah, what do you think about this whole model of working from home?
I think you covered most of those things, right? Those different arrangements. I also know people who have moved to a different city or state. Actually, I've heard of this couple that started staying 3 months in different cities all across the US. For 3 months, they went to Hawaii, 3 months in Florida, 3 months in Texas, and they just worked from different places all over the country. So some people have made a pretty interesting story out of this one.
While the remote work is still there, I might just cash on this idea and do that coming summer. You know, now it's the time.
Yeah. So my perspective on this is every organization has been different. I think people have been very understanding, but also, you know, some places have been smart about this from a real estate perspective. So the more remote employees you have, the less money you have to spend on real estate for those people, especially if you are in premium locations like New York, for example. So I think going forward, we are probably going to see more of a hybrid model. Probably there might be certain types of employees at organizations that might continue working remotely versus some might go back. I do see traditional workplaces like hospitals coming back more on site rather than continuing the remote work. But yeah, we just have to wait and watch. I hope that we use these lessons and work towards a hybrid model, to be honest with you. That would be my personal preference.
I also kind of like the hybrid model. Some families, couples with children, they're saying it's difficult to manage while the school didn't reopen. But I think some of my friends are actually saying that, oh, they are so happy to be spending more time with their children in sort of this hybrid model where they actually go to work for some days of the week. They just stay at home and they actually get to spend more time with their family like that. Anyways, we had a great discussion today. I think this was really personal and I hope you like it. And this brings us to the end of today's episode. So please subscribe to us on your podcast platform of choice. Tune in for the next episode.
Yes, listeners, thank you so much for staying with us this entire time in our journey on Computationally Yours. We love that you come back to us every time we have a new episode out. Until next time. This is Computationally Yours.